Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take, eat, this is my body. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is one of those kind of weird points in ministry for me as a pastor, and I think a few of you, maybe even all of you, can relate to this a little bit. Where you're overwhelmed with a feeling of wanting to do something, but it doesn't seem like there is really anything that you can do. Because I will tell you, today especially, and increasingly over the last few days, my thoughts have been preoccupied with COVID-19, aka coronavirus. And there's all sorts of opinions as to what should be done, what we should do, and what we should not do. Today was the first time it really impacted me personally, and those of you who follow me on Facebook already know what happened to me today. It was yesterday that Governor Whitmer declared a state of emergency here in the state of Michigan because of the first two cases of coronavirus in the state. One from Oakland County, one from Wayne County, suburban Detroit. Which means coronavirus, at least confirmed cases, is still 500 miles away from us here. I know it's in Wisconsin too, and it's probably closer in Wisconsin, but in Michigan, 500 miles away. And because of the state of emergency, I couldn't enter a nursing home today. I wanted to bring a communion, the Lord's body and blood, to one of our shut-ins. And I was told, you may not enter. And it's left me pondering and confused and frustrated and a little bit amused and kind of angry, because I feel like it's important that our members are able to receive communion. To not be able to do that is frustrating, and it's had me reflecting on what's all going on in our country, what's our collective mindset right now. And then it dawned on me, well, boy, we have the perfect word for tonight. We had is. We had given, do this, eat the body and drink the blood. That is what you can do. It's ironic because last week we talked about how Jesus said, this is given for you, and we emphasized Holy Communion is a gift that God gives us. It's not about our actions. It's about what he does for us, giving his life into death, body and blood given. But now Jesus says, do. And that's a word that implies action. And when you stop and think about it, even though Holy Communion is all gift, all Jesus given for you, there's a whole lot of action involved in Holy Communion. You know, Lutheran worship is often kind of viewed as this sort of stodgy, boring sort of thing that we do, but it didn't really dawn on me today just how active we are when we gather around Jesus' body and blood. I mean, think about it. Yes, I know there's all the standing and the sitting. That's a lot of movement right there, which is easier for some people than others. I get that. But think about what happens when we receive Holy Communion. Think of everything that we do. We stand, we walk forward. As we're able, we kneel. We bow our heads in prayer. We place out our hands to receive the body of Christ. We open our mouths to eat, to chew, to drink, and to swallow. Some people make the sign of the cross upon themselves, a further action, and then we stand from our kneeling if we've been doing that, and we return to our seats. There is a whole lot of doing involved in Holy Communion. That's because Holy Communion is participatory. There is something we do, even though we've done nothing. Even though it's all what Jesus has done for us. Jesus reminds us to do this, to do it in remembrance of Him. To do this as often as we drink it in remembrance of Him. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? You see, our doing of this, our eating and our drinking, is mirrored by what Jesus is doing himself. I think one of the mysteries of Holy Communion that we don't often stop to contemplate is that when we participate in the body and the blood of Jesus, we are participating in an event that, let's face it, is almost 2,000 years old. That what happened on a cross when a lamb went uncomplaining forth, as we sang in our office hymn, to be nailed upon a tree, who went willingly for our sins, what he has done upon that cross is poured forth not just throughout the world, but through the pages of history. There's a beautiful piece of artwork that hangs over the altar in Weimar, Germany. And it's a stunning piece of artwork painted by a famous Reformation artist named Lucas Cranach. Actually, his name was Lucas Cranach the Younger, because there was an elder, his father. And Lucas Cranach's father had recently died. And he was completing a painting. I'm not quite sure if his father had started it and he completed it or if he did the whole thing. I don't know the full story. But this painting that sits above the altar to this day in Weimar, Germany, is of Jesus suspended upon the cross. And then standing to the right of the cross are three people. John the Baptist, who came to point people to Jesus. Martin Luther, who also pointed us to Jesus. And in between Jesus and John, sorry, between Luther and John the Baptist, Lucas Cranach the Younger painted Lucas Cranach the Elder. He painted his father between Luther and John the Baptist at the foot of the cross of Jesus. And that's not the stunning part of the painting. It's that there is a wound in the side of Jesus where he has been pierced by the spear, and a stream of blood flows forth right upon the head of Lucas Cranach the Elder. The painting was a depiction of the comfort that a son knew because his father was literally covered in the blood of Christ, literally in the picture, and literally for all eternity as that blood poured over him. Now, obviously, Lucas Cranach the Elder and the Younger lived some 1,500 years after Jesus. But the same blood that poured forth on that cross poured forward onto a father, a son, a reformer, people of that generation, and it pours forward onto you and me. That's what Jesus does. What we are unable to do, to have something happen that spans across the pages of history, all the years going forward and all the years going behind, Jesus' blood covers the sin of everyone, no matter where you find yourself in history. That's what he does. That's his action. The hymn we sang, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, spoke of Jesus the Lamb who, without complaint, goes forward to die on his cross. But what he does today is go forth to each and every one of you. And when his words say, do this, he invites you to come where he is doing his thing. Body and blood given and shed for you, poured out across the years, throughout the world, so that you may have no doubt that your sin is covered in his blood. That's what the church does. We gather where body and blood are Jesus Christ's action for us. It's what they did in Luther's day when there was bubonic plague ravaging Europe, when people were terrified, when there was far more death than we're likely to ever even come close to experiencing from coronavirus. There was Jesus through the pages of history in every place, body given, blood shed. What do we do? What can we do? Eat and drink. This is Jesus, where he does what he does for you without fail. And he promises he will continue to do it for all eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.